I'm looking for where to stop. Okay, let's just stop here. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I've almost read the whole chapter. All right. I was just looking for where to stop. The thing just kept on getting sweeter and sweeter. I don't know whether you noticed it. Now, why I read all of that is the emphasis he puts on the use of past tenses. Everything he says there, he will say that you died with him, all right, in baptism. You were raised up with him. It tells you that the handwriting, the decrees against you were cancelled. Now, please notice this. When he wrote this, you were not even born. You are getting the point? And he said that he wrote this and he prayed for those who had not even seen his face, which includes people like you and me. He kept on talking in the past tense. That's why I read the whole thing. I ended the message last week with that particular principle. Remember I said my message today is titled what? The gift of God. And this is what Christ is. I said that, listen, all these things that people do is because they want to attain something. But this is what Christ is. All those things that they try to attain, God packaged it into one person. We'll talk about the mechanisms later. But he packaged it everything into Christ and said, if you will believe in him, then everything people struggled for is already yours. When I was young, I heard a story of some of these monks and these ascetics, like I've talked about once in a while. A man who wanted to separate himself from the pollution that's in the world, trying to fight against sin, they dug a hole in the rock and buried him inside with a wall, and then just left a hole, all right, a small aperture through which they could pass maybe water and a little bit of food, and the man would be there for years. What's he trying to do? Trying to overcome the corruption that's in the world. There's one I hear Christians say all the time. You know, Christians also do that thing with fasting. And it's totally wrong. They say you use your fast to put your body under. That thing, I don't have time to explain it. It just does not make any scriptural sense. Paul said it clearly. Those things don't do anything for the discipline of the flesh. I've explained it again and again. If a Christian wants to fast, there's only one reason a Christian fasts. Under the Old Testament, there are different reasons they fasted. But the major reason was they had sinned, and God is about to punish them. So they wear sackcloth and ashes. But the interesting part is that God at the time said, even the sackcloth and ashes, I'm tired of it. He said, because I noticed it is not attached, it's not tied with. He said, rent your heart, not your garments. That is, if you will just repent, have a change of heart. For Christians, we don't get our forgiveness by the abasement of the flesh, the discipline of the flesh. We get it by confession and asking for forgiveness through the name of Jesus Christ. The only condition that God attaches to that is just repent. Don't mock God. You know, I mock God. You do unto, they say, God says, I won't collect this bribe. Please don't be angry. We'll share it. I don't know whether you understand my point. Yes, which a lot of Christians do. What I'm going to say is that forgiveness of sins, all right? That's all God is asking for, repentance. Repentance is not mocking God. What is mocking God? That I say, God, as I'm doing this thing, please, we will share the money. You understand it is for the poor. God is not Robin Hood, amen? Steal from the rich and give to the poor and justify it. God doesn't do that. If we repent of anything and confess, what does it mean to confess? To acknowledge that it is wrong and utter it in prayer, we are forgiven. It is not dependent on how we went into sackcloth and ashes. That's why I went through all of that. Christians try to attain some of those things also. They have their own works, we do. And gives us confidence. I've seen it. I've been to church. People say, man, we fasted the whole of last week. Now, if the devil just shows up. And the devil says, yes. I'm happy you think like this because now I'm going to kill somebody. Because once you talk like that, you have armed the devil. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You have armed him. The only thing that works against the devil is the power of the word. It must never be confidence in your own flesh. The devil will feel that we have prayed enough. We have fasted enough. Let us now start and face them. That's it. The first volley of bullets, spiritually speaking, now they come down. Why? They came with a confidence that's not born, you understand what I'm saying, of the knowledge of the face of Christ. It's born of the spiritual activity that they have engaged in. And it doesn't work. Christ, this is what Christ is. Christ said, all those things that you are desiring, I packaged them. This is where I'm going. I gave it to you as a person. And everything that you can ever, now listen to this, this is the conclusion of it. Everything you may ever, listen to this, I'll say it one more time. Everything you may ever desire is already in Christ Jesus. And you take it from him by faith. What do I mean by faith? Again, it is simple. Just accept that it is in Christ Jesus and it is yours. And you are not working to get it. It has just been given to you freely. That's what the faith is. That's the beginning and the end of it. You don't ever think you are doing anything to get it. I always like to use money as an example. That's the easiest one because it's the one we are most confused on. We all know about it. We all know how to sow seeds. There's no Christian in this generation that does not know about seed sowing. Everybody has learnt it. But God has raised some of us up to come and correct the error in it. Like I say all the time, giving is good. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Yes, it is good. It's the life of God. That's the principle of Christianity. For God so loved that he gave. Now this one who have received something in Christ. We'll start by explaining the opposite. People still think, like for example, if I, let's take this as an example now. I need maybe a car, a house, something great from God. This is what it means to receive it by faith. What Christians do normally is this. They start looking for the keys to use to get it. Somebody says, you will praise God until your heart is rejoicing. Then you quickly ask. That is not receiving it in Christ. Please, I hope you have an answer. Like I always say, praise is good. Amen?
Amen.
But it is not a way by which we get our account from God. Some say, no, you will write it down. No, this is one thing we do a lot in churches. And I'm setting the people of God free with his truth. They say, write that thing down. Put an envelope. And then put an offering inside the envelope. Seal it. And hold it up and prophesy over it. That is the opposite of receiving it in Christ. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
it is the opposite. Anything you do that appears like you are trying to merit it is the opposite. How do I, now we're using that car as an example of the building. How do I receive it in Christ? It is simple. We simply say, according to the word of Jesus Christ himself, God knows that I have need of these things. So when I approach him simply by faith, which means that this thing I'm looking for, Christ already paid for it. That's all. Should I give money towards him? Why? He has paid for it. Should I praise God to be able to get it? Why? He has paid for it. He said, I used to, I shouldn't praise God. Please never read things I did not say. I just say it is not a key to getting it out of him. That's what I said. This is what praise is. When I'm praising him, I'm actually saying simply, God, thank you. You know, if I was a Hindu now, I would have had to walk naked for 2 years for this thing. Lord, thank you. Because in Christ Jesus, I don't have to walk naked. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If I was a Hindu, I would be walking naked. Just because I want spiritual enlightenment. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Jesus, oh, thank you. When he left, you sent the Holy Spirit. Now I don't have to fast for 11 months. Carry my hands stretched out without dropping it. Because of spiritual enlightenment, I have the Holy Spirit. He leads me into all truth. He leads me into all truth. Lord, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I'm filled with the Spirit of Christ. Are you seeing that? What did I do to get it? Nothing. Am I praising God to get it? No, the praise is a recognition of what I know. Please, I hope you're following the point I'm making. What is my, you know, I've been saying it. That's what I'm trying to preach the whole thing. Christians, please walk in the liberty. Everything you want in life is a gift of God. every single thing is a gift, a free gift. We have to qualify it. Paul used the word free gift. Let's talk about the word righteousness again. Please go and listen to the series for those who haven't. Even if you were here when I preached it, please listen to it again. True righteousness revealed. True righteousness revealed. Please listen to the series. It's there on the website. What is righteousness? Righteousness, there are many ways to explain it. In line with what we're teaching now, righteousness is the excuse that God uses to bless you. That's it. That is it. It's the excuse. A stranger just walks up, example, to my door. I haven't paid my school fees. You know what I'm going to tell him? How is that my problem? I don't know what I'm going to say. If I'm going to tell him, say, hello, good morning. I haven't paid my fees. Now I'm going to look over my shoulder. Are you talking to me? Yes. Me? First question is, how is that my problem? I don't know whether I get my point. But if my son walks in and says, Daddy, I haven't paid my fees. Why not? I don't know what I get my point. Like, why? You didn't tell your mommy? You didn't tell me? When was it due? Why am I not asking how is my problem? He has a standing in the house. Are you getting my point? That standing is called righteousness. You are getting what I'm saying? Yes. But let us assume he's a big boy. He's in university as an example. And he comes home one day. And he comes with somebody. And he says, Daddy, I have to pay fees. So how much? He tells me. And I say, okay. Oh, okay. Take it as a check. Just a school accept check. Say, yes, okay, have the check. And he's about to leave. And I say, there's something I want to discuss with you. That guy downstairs, the one who came together. I say, yes. He's my friend in school. He hasn't paid too. And his father can't pay. Now, he has made intercession for his friend. I don't know whether you're getting the point. And the friend is automatically blessed because of the righteousness he has in my presence. That is, his own intercession is not the excuse for the other fellow. I'm not explaining righteousness. That if tomorrow I found out that this young man and my son are so close. So he comes by himself and I say, let's look for a name for him. Okay, there's Paul in the Bible. I just say, hey, Paul, how are you? I say, I'm fine. Where are you going? Say, come, you don't look happy. What's going on? I haven't paid for, so and so and so. Without, I won't call my son again and say, it's not necessary anymore. By virtue of his relationship with my son, he has now attained righteousness in my sight. So in front of me, he's a righteous man. Now notice that righteousness is not telling me how he behaves. No, it's not telling me how he behaves. It's a pure relationship matter. That is the excuse I'm using to bless him. Anytime God wants to bless you, he requires an excuse. And the excuse is called what? Righteousness. And he said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. Not from our works, but what? From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is that faith? That God says, I have already given you everything as a gift. Listen to me. We don't negotiate on it. Like, God, if I do for you, what will you do for me back? Please stop all that nonsense. It's not Christianity. That's what I'm preaching in all this I'm saying. Let us stop it. It's not Christianity. I will say some things direct because it will shock people into thinking. God does not bless you because of your tithe. He doesn't bless you because of your first fruits. Neither is his blessing tied to your offering. There are statements that a normal pastor shouldn't make. Well, good enough, I have my title already. Controversial preacher. Now, this is the interesting part. With all things that I say, don't think, Pastor Van, it's because you have money, you're paying for Kingdom World. Not lie. In fact, as a family, we give money to Kingdom World too. But we are, my wife and I think we are behind now. Not because of lack of funds, but time to just sit down and do calculation. But Kingdom World doesn't lack money. Why? With all this what I'm saying, the people I'm talking to, you know the truth? They have been liberated. Are you getting my point? Yes, those who relate with us in Kingdom World Ministries, they give out of what? Liberty. You know what I said? What I call it? Liberty. But the giving is not, I want to get. It's more like, I have gotten. And there is a purpose for it. The giving is not, how do I do this? What will God give me back? That's why I keep on telling you, don't sow anything into my life. There are some pastors out there, I can show you their office address. Go and sow seed into them. As for me, please, don't. Shouldn't I give to you? Oh, come on. If you give to me, I will pray for you. But you give to me for two reasons. One, you said, this guy is really preaching the word of God. And as a sign of my honor for that word, sir, take. Or two, once I was poor, then you preached. Now I have been set free. This is a product of that word. We have to share it. Here is your portion. Anything beyond that is idolatry. It is. So it's only if you give to a man of God that you'll be blessed. That's a fat lie. If you give to a poor person, you'll also be blessed too. He that gives to the poor honors his maker. It's the word of God. I want to bring out an issue here. That Christianity, oh God, I pray you can see my heart. I want to explain to you that you are free. That's what I'm trying to explain. That you are free to serve God. Serving God is sweet if it's not being done as a matter of compulsion. I can't imagine I get home, my wife saying, if I don't cook for him now, he starts shouting. And that's how, are you getting my point? I eat food out of grumbling. I hope you like it too. If you don't like it, now let's go and cook another one. I don't want to hear any shouts when I'm sleeping. No. I would lose appetite. In fact, you know that kind of thing, you go and soak Gary in peace. You dig Gary up and soak it in peace. And listen, that's how God is also. He doesn't like all this one that people do things for him because they feel that if they don't do for him, he won't do for them. He feels, listen, I'm giving you his passion. He feels bad about it. He doesn't like it. And one word I want to drop with you today. There are many people here. God said, that's why for years I've not been able to do anything for you. You have not freed me to do it. He doesn't like it. All the blessings of your life, they've been packaged in Christ Jesus. You don't get anything from him that is not a free gift. How do you get it? By faith. What is the faith? That you recognize it's a free gift. You recognize Jesus paid for it. Listen, you are not sowing. Listen, if you like, you know, there's a message I preached some time ago. It's titled The Seed of God's Power. I said, the continual doing of good works. Please always do good works. That's a mark of Christianity. Not like we are trying to get something, but because it's the nature of God. Are you getting my point? It's the nature of God. It's the nature of God. The doing of good works is just, he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him and he went about doing good. Doing good. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. That is, the sign of God's presence in his life was that he was going around doing good works. Jesus never sowed a seed for what he will reap. But we know, as a matter of fact, he always used to give to the poor. You know that? He always used to. That's why Judas was saying, why didn't you add this one to the welfare post? He always used to. That's why when he said, Judas, what do you do? Do quickly. They thought he said, go and settle the poor. He always used to. Apart from that, he had compassion on people. He saw a widow whose only son was dead. The Bible makes it clear that he had compassion on her. So this kind of thing is Christianity. To walk with compassion is Christianity. But listen, we don't do those things because we want to get. We have been freed. Everything we are getting in life is because Christ Jesus paid for them. Please, this is my message to you today. Walk freely and serve God freely. You are not under bondage. I will say this one to you straight concerning your money. God is not sharing money with you. I hope you get what I'm saying. Say, where's my portion? Where's your portion? You know, 90%. No. Take 10%. No. Every single kobo you have belongs to him. I hope you get that point. And 100%. Anyone you eat is holy money. That's when you are eating food. That's why you have to give thanks. It's God's food you are eating. Lord, I took some of our money. I went to buy food with it. Thank you very much. It's not as if that one is not an offering. Any food that I eat is an offering. Oh God. The one you gave and the one you ate, both of them are holy. Yes, sir. I pray you catch that. The one you ate, the one you gave, both of them are what?
Holy.
They are holy. They are holy. They are holy. Like I said, please, this message will flow into the next one, talking about how to be led by the Spirit of God. I need to emphasize that thing. What it means to be led. You know why I'm saying so? Because take out this money thing as an example. You have been freed. You are in liberty to do what you like with your money, in quote. Because the money is not yours. It belongs to God. Just like you are not yours, you belong to God. So how do I now handle the money? That's what it calls being led by the Spirit. The word of God that has entered into you, the Spirit of Christ that has entered into you, suddenly sets your priorities differently. I don't know what you guys want to say. Yeah, it says it differently. It says it differently. It says it differently. It removes the fear of tomorrow. It removes the pressure to be, you know, trying to impress somebody. It removes all of those things. Suddenly the Holy Spirit can, without whispering to you, it has entered into you. And when you are apportioning money, it's according to the will of God. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Let me stop. I still feel like talking. But if I keep talking, you know what's going to happen? I'll be saying the same thing again and again. And what is the same thing I'm saying again and again? You are free.
Amen.
You have been set free to serve God.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to emphasize. God came down in the body of Christ to you. You are not the one looking for him. He looked for you. Do you get my point?
Yes,
everything he came to you as a gift, he said, just believe. Just believe. I said, God always speaks with what? Past tense. I have erased. Listen, that's the point I'm making. Oh God, Israel, let's start again. That is. He said, I have erased every handwriting of decrees written against you. Believe it. Don't say this. You have a problem, it's a sign of a curse. That's what I'm trying to say. Just believe it. Stop saying you have a problem is a sign of a curse. This is what he said. In Christ Jesus, I have wiped out every curse that was written against you. So it's either you believe it or you don't. If you believe it, problems will disappear from your life. Are you getting my point? If you believe it, those problems will be wiped away. What have I done to break the curse? Oh God. Will I start preaching again this evening? You cannot break any curse. You can't because it's not there.
Yes.
Why are you letting people lie to you? When God says the curse has been removed, you still want to break the curse. If you try to break the curse, God will punish you personally. You don't get the point. You're insulting him. Oh God, why can't I get the point? Every day Christians they go to church and I say, you go to church, you go and listen to this. Why don't you just go to a mosque? Just go to a mosque. At least all of you know it's deception. Everybody knows. I'm not a Muslim, I've come to a mosque. Let them not catch me, they won't lynch me. You understand? Why rather than going, your heart is not open, you know? Your heart is locked. Or you go to a church, you open your heart. And somebody pours it into you that there's a curse in your life. When the Bible says clearly that in Christ Jesus, every handwriting has been wiped away. It has been removed. So why don't I experience it? Because you don't believe it. And like I said before, you're just misinterpreting an average day's wahala. Like you're coming to Kingdom World Ministries. You go to that junction, there's a long queue. There's a cause that says, I won't get to the Bible study on time. That traffic light is there to control traffic. Sometimes you are behind the long traffic. It's not you. It's nothing personal. Like I said all the time, life is just hard. And he that overcomes, that means you're supposed to be an overcomer. If life is not hard, why should God send in overcomers? He will have sent in enjoyers. You just go there and say, boy, go and enjoy. No, he didn't say that to you. He said, go and what? Overcome. What does it mean to overcome? There's a problem there. You will overcome it. That's why you're an overcomer. Wahalas in life is not a sign of a curse. Stop trying to look for what you did before that's causing your problems today. That's the last one I want to say. After that, don't worry, I'm going. Stop trying to look for what you did before that's causing your problems today. Just simply say to God, everything that was written against me has been wiped away. If there is anything you are doing wrong today, the Holy Spirit whispers it to you. You confess it there. You don't fast on it. What did I say? Oh, no, what don't you do? You don't fast on it. What is fasting about? Fasting is that I may be confused. I don't know what next to do. So I take a holiday. I take a leave. I go somewhere quiet with a Bible, a few tapes, some messages, all right? And I sit down and I pray till I gain understanding. That's why my favorite prayer now is from the book of Colossians chapter 1. I pray that God will fill you and me with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of God. That's it. That's what we fast for. My brother, if hunger is catching you, chop. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
that is instruction from today. If you are hungry, eat. Your hunger doesn't make you spiritually potent. So say, now we are ready to cast out demons while we have been fasting. The demons like it. They like people like you. You have false confidence. Listen, I'm a free Christian.
Oh.
I pray you will join me. I'm a free Christian.
Oh.
Yes, I'm free. I am free. You are free too.
Amen.
I say you are free too.
Amen.
If you have had problems in life, let me say it again. Your problems cannot prove the word of God as wrong. Listen, he said every handwriting has been scrubbed off. Every decree written against you has been removed. Please, I ban you according to the word of God from going for any deliverance service. You don't need it. You want to deliver your family? Tell your family they don't need it. They need to believe. You cannot deliver an unbelieving family. You cannot deliver somebody who has not believed. Are you getting my point? How can you be delivering somebody who has refused to believe? You say, I want to do family deliverance. You ask your brother, you don't give your life to Christ? No. You ask your sister, you don't give your life to Christ? No. As you say, they go church, I never show. And you want to deliver them. You should tell all of them, I'm calling Rehum Bonke. Sit down here. And you come back. Yes, I have come. In Jesus' name, believe. If you don't believe, you are condemned already. There's no deliverance that we can do. Otherwise, I just, if you refuse to believe, I will pray for you. Like I said earlier, the power of my intercession, you understand, will help you in life. But real deliverance is believing. Don't follow anybody to go to any village. You know, go?
Yes, sir.
Good. Don't follow anybody to go to any village. Why? Because every handwriting written against you has been wiped out.